to watch me stumble on film. So,
but seriously, ask your curling coworker if she's at all interested in tutoring a 9-year-old girl who really, really loves curling.
I will. I'll mention it.
Too, I thought the same thing. It's like, you know, all those curlers, like the really good ones, have been doing it for like 20 years. Maybe if Alice sticks with it, you know, maybe she'll actually be really crazy good at it.
Who knows? Maybe.
I'd love to go see her in some big f***ing tournaments.
You'd be like, that's my girl. That's my daughter.
I get the big Alice head.
Yeah.
You got to have two foam fingers. One that says Alice and the other one that says number one.
Yep.
Alice number one.
With a big hat Alice. With a giant Alice face on it. She's like, yeah, that's my dad. No shit.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Eat it.
You're about to enter into a world where all those classic movie monsters are still alive. A time when scary movies were fun for the whole family. And a place where the only colors you'll find are black, white, and shades of gray. Welcome to the Mimiverse.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast.
It's the 15th. It's the 15th today.
It is August 15th.
August 15th.
It's 7:14 p.m.
P.m.
Central Standard Time.
CST.
We always say the 15th-ish, don't we? Well, historically, we've been putting it out the Monday after the 15th or Sunday night, usually.
As long as we're not recording it on the 30th, like the 30th.
Yeah.
Of the month it should have been. Yeah. Well, August 30th for the August podcast, that would have been very, very late.
Very late.
There it is. We are outside again. There is a fire. No fire
can't
tender.
Hear it yet.
It's a beautiful night.
It is, actually. It's gorgeous. There's going to be a storm rolling in about 5-6 hours, but we'll be done well before then.
I would think so. I mean, some podcasts we weren't, but this one I think will be fine.
Good point.
Mitch gets tired. You know, it gets about 8:30.
He is old.
Not enough.
He needs his Jarrett's.
He's got to go all the way back home, all the way to Maple Grove.
It is a drive.
God, what, 20 minutes or so?
It is a drive,
that's a long
indeed.
Drive. 20 minutes, 1 hour. It's somewhere.
Yeah. Depends right. on construction, is what you're saying.
That's actually yes. true.
All right. So I'm Mark Hader. You can call me Hader or General
Castle.
It
takes you an hour to get back to Maple Grove.
No. An hour and a half. Depends on how many detours where I go.
I see.
How many
donut
way?
Shops
you yeah, you realize there's the a Tim Hortons yeah, right down the street now.
I drove by it.
And, and a Dunkin'.
There's a Dunkin' well, donut.
Just try both of them.
He made a mental note.
I came up 36.
All right.
And it said, next, you know, Dunkin' Donuts next right, and I really almost stopped.
I'm a little sad you didn't.
I know.
I'm always
a donut.
I'm always up for baked goods.
Do we have any
motto.
Gophers that can go maybe
was,
pick
up? See, we don't even have like a fire tender to send them out.
No
to.
Fire tender.
I'm the fire tender as well.
All right.
Okay.
I'm gonna going to do it.
But you're not the podcast gopher, though. That's the problem.
Just give me a half hour. I'll be back.
All right. We'll just we'll hit pause.
Get a sixer from each, and we'll just try them all out. Make sure they match.
So that's Rue. Christopher R. Mim is here as well.
We've got,
and you've heard him here. You heard him last month as well. Mitchell A. Gonzalez.
Hello.
Who's here to answer for his crimes against humanity.
That's right. Don't I have a prize or something I'm supposed to pick up?
Yeah, I just haven't made them.
Okay. I was on somebody's list.
I was so focused on, you know, finishing the new movie that I realized like today that. I was like, oh, crap, I never made the Versys. I heard about it this weekend. I was in Texas, and Michael Cross, who won the shit list awards, like, where's my award? Aren't I getting an actual award? I really want to put that up.
You should come to the premiere, and then maybe he'll receive his award.
Ooh. Well,
let's do them all at the premiere. I show love up it. Or you don't get it.
Yeah. You want your shit list?
Show up.
There it is.
Well, I'm very honored to be in the Hall of Fame now, so that was very nice to hear, and I thank you.
Hey, you know.
I mean, you beat Duct Tape.
You also were the first to be baptized.
That was a tough one.
You were the first to be baptized in the waters of Phantom Lake.
Right, right.
That's right.
Steph was the second.
Steph was the second. We baptized her.
That's a thing now, right?
It is.
It's a thing. It's a thing. You're not truly, officially, it's like you're 98% part of the Hall of Fame until you actually are baptized. Then you get that full 100%.
Well, it's like being a Catholic but not being baptized. It's just, it doesn't work.
Right.
That's the point.
You're Catholic in name only.
Yeah.
Also, Mitch is
Hall of Fame in name only.
This story I feel needs to be told. When I was trying to set this podcast up a couple of weeks ago, it's been crazy busy for everybody here, me, Rue, Mitch, and Chris. I accidentally started a group message with Mitch, myself, and what I thought was Chris's cell phone, which I've known for, I don't know, ever since he's had it. But for some reason, I used...
Literally since I got it.
Yeah, literally, I've had your cell phone number, and we text each other frequently. But for some reason, I wasn't paying attention.
Usually like, you up? What you wearing?
Yeah, exactly. So I started a group text message with Mitch, myself, and Steph. Said Mim. I was like, okay, awesome. So I was trying to set this bad boy up, and all of a sudden I said, you know, gentlemen and homies. And so Steph responds, not correcting who the actual recipients were, but she's like, oh, so now I'm a gentleman and a homie. And I'm like,
yeah.
What? And then like 30 seconds later, she says, oh, by the way, this is Steph. And I'm like, I looked at the number and I'm like, oh, God, darn it. Oh, my God. So, but in that text message exchange, Mitch says, hi, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
He's going for the award again this year.
You have to start early.
You got to start early.
You got to work at it.
Start early, start often is the phrase here. So Mitch hasn't been a guest, an actual guest, for a very long time. He is our primary guest this evening. We have nobody else here. It is just the three of us. We're going to grill him. We got some movies we got to talk about. We want to ask him monsters for Where Skeeto. We want to ask him about, you know, let's get a little bit into Demon with the Atomic Brain.
Basically, this is going to be a very unpleasant podcast for Mitch. We've decided that it's time to ask the questions that everyone's been dying to know.
We actually do have a lot of questions this podcast. So we've got some for Mitch specifically. We've got one for Rue. From a listener, lighting question,
and one for Hater.
Oh, we do. Oh, that's right. No, I forgot about that one. So where do we want to start with this one, guys? Should we go back to Where Skeeto?
I think we just asked Mitch the most important question. Have you no decency, sir? Yeah. Have you no decency?
Well, this was the nude podcast, right? I mean.
What are you doing?
There's a lot of pictures here, and none of them are with Mitch, who is right now greased up and shirtless.
Well, it's just got...
And recently shorn.
And yes.
Recently shorn. Like a baby sheep.
He is glistening in the sunset right now, which is kind of hidden
behind... The hazy sunset.
Yeah, behind clouds. So there you go. We got...
So, Mitch, how you doing? How will we start that?
I'm doing there well. You thank you. I'm doing real well.
What you been up to?
Oh, this and that, a little bit of everything.
Your work on Demon with the Atomic Brain has been done for a while now?
It's been done. I finished it.
On time?
You pulled it off?
We got a lot done.
Mitch did actually a lot for this new movie, done. We can tell. I mean, you did several monsters. You did some prosthetic work on more than one actor.
Yes.
You did some model work. Mm-hmm. As in, not you were the model, but you created models.
That's like correct.
Miniatures.
I tried to walk across a few times, model. Yeah, you know, but
it didn't work.
It didn't stick.
You did some special effects. I mean, you were probably more involved in this movie than you've been in a long time, just as far as keeping you busy on working on stuff. Obviously, with the like Where Skeeto and the other ones, usually when you'll be there on a shoot day when you know Michael's in the costume, right? Yeah. This time, though, you were constantly making something for upcoming things. Like, you never were allowed to just, like, I'm done, I can relax now.
No.
Until everything was done.
Even delivering the last model was the last thing.
It was the last thing I needed. I mean, it was just like, dude, I need that.
that Norman's effects. But
yeah, Norm's stop motion. That was the last thing anyone sort of needed to provide.
But. Yeah, but it was right. I came right up to the end. Yeah.
Because you were there on the cold day.
I was there on the coldest day, and I was there for the nice two, the Saturday, Sunday,
the coldest
weekend.
And the hottest day.
Yes. Yep. That cold day was brutal. Oh, man.
It was.
It was fun, though.
I think it comes through. I really, you can see it on the actors' faces. Nice. They were miserable.
That's the one with Mandy Tietz's.
Yes, out in middle of nowhere, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah, where everyone's wearing, they're wearing, flight suits, and it was, 19 degrees. With wind chill.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It was horrible.
And you had the fancy blue scarf on that day?
Dude, it didn't even help. Nothing you could wear helped. It was just that wind. It was so windy, and it was that wide open field. It just cut through everything. I had several layers. I had blankets on. I had a very stylish women's scarf on. I had, a hunting cap on. Yeah. It didn't help. And that was the thing.
If
is
you're
by
getting
the,
smoked out, you...
That's okay.
We're smoking.
Got still plenty on.
He's a toker. Midnight.
Yeah.
But you know, shooting that was really interesting because toward the end, we got down to a point where it was just basically Mandy and I. Everyone else is like, we're done, and it was just this one thing I had to do with Mandy, and it became less of being like a film director and more just being like a freaking coach or something, because it wasn't like, okay, here's what I need you to do. It's like, no, you could do this. Pull through. You know, it's like a marathon runner. You could freaking do this, because she ended up basically taking off some clothing, which sounds bad, but I mean, it was like she's wearing less than the full flight suit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not much of a spoiler because people have seen the picture.
Yep.
She ends up at one point taking the sleeves off basically and tying it around her waist. And so she's doing that, and it's like, you know, it's colder. The sun's going down. The wind's still whipping around. And she's already been out here for a couple hours. And she was starting to shut down a little bit, and you could see it. I mean, she's just like, so cold, I can't. She couldn't think straight. She couldn't get it. It's like, you don't have any more lines. You just need to do this, this, and this. You can do this! Because I still had stuff on me, so I wasn't quite suffering as much. But yeah. It literally became less of a... It was much less of a directing thing and more of like
a head game.
It was, yeah, it was just, it was like I was just her personal trainer trying to push her through those last, you know, freaking crunches
three,
before she,
two,
you know,
throws one.
Up.
You got
and
this.
And that's the point exactly. Where I came up with that mantra is, the mantra is, pain is temporary, film is forever.
Film is forever.
I kept saying that because, you know, we need to get the shot. And then I was struggling with keeping the masks on the boys. And,
yep.
You know, there's a lot of you're trying
those.
To do little intricate, fussy work with big gloves on and tape and things, and it was very cumbersome.
It was uncomfortable. That was probably the hardest.
Very cold.
I'd say the hardest shoot we've ever done, honestly. Not because it was difficult. The shoot wasn't difficult. It was very straightforward. It was just the weather conditions and being out there in it made it very. Challenging, shall we say.
Interesting.
Yes.
Because we did the other one when we did Destination Outer Space.
Yeah.
We did that scene with you and Catherine and Josh.
Yep.
And Robert, and it was cold, but it was still, right? It was 19 degrees that day, and there's snow on the ground, but we had like those propane heaters, and we just like, it wasn't the worst thing ever. It was cold.
It was uncomfortable, but
it was
wasn't
uncomfortable,
like, yeah.
But it was like, okay, we did the thing. They're moving around, they're punching each other, and so you could kind of stay warm just by movement. This, it didn't matter what you did, because it was about the, I mean, the air temperature was like lower 20s, and then it had wind.
It was that wind chill.
That wind chill was below zero, so it was,
yikes.
And it was constant, because you're out in this big, I mean, you'll see it when you see the movie, it was this big open field, and it was windy that day, so it's just a constant heavy wind blowing through you.
Yeah.
And it made it look really cool, though.
I was
going
to say, did it look
so cool?
As if it were cool?
Yeah, because everything's blowing around, okay. And their hair's going crazy, and it looks freezing, and it is. And there was some snow on the ground, and it was dead and
bare trees.
Brown,
it
looked cool, and it looks very distinct from any other, you know, part of the movie. That's the one thing about the finished movie now that I've seen it, because it is done, is that every little piece of it looks different. Every reality has its own flavor.
Cool.
And that was one of the things that made me really happy about it, is that you can definitely tell, okay, there's somewhere else, there's somewhere new. And then we shot the stuff outside, like you're saying, the hottest day.
The hottest weekend, yeah.
Which is like the last weekend we shot anything.
Early June, I think it was the first weekend in June.
And it was 80 degrees, a little bit humid on that one day, but not that bad. You know, leaves on the trees. And on top of that, we even were able to find different kinds of trees because it was a pine forest as opposed to just a regular old leafy forest.
Like maples and...
Yeah, but I mean, then those are bare of trees, but there was totally different trees and just... It works out. It looks really cool. I mean, this one, I think, looks... It's sort of the quote-unquote big-budget one, like the giant spider. There's a lot of locations and a lot of sets and
a lot of people and a lot of things happening.
And again, that speaks to Mitch being busy.
Yes.
Because you had to, like, make something new every month almost.
Pretty much. I know when we first talked about the movie, we were throwing ideas around, and you were kind of coming up with the storyline and saying... I need this. I need that. I'm not going to elaborate. I'm just going to be very vague.
Right.
But, we'll do that. And let's, you know, so it kept me very busy, and busy's good.
Well, and even at one point, we had to change scene entirely.
On the fly, yes.
I rewrote an entire scene. It's very, very similar to what it was.
Yeah.
But we had to change the monster.
Yeah, yes. Well, the other thing, too, is I think... Having spent the day on that field in Wisconsin, that very cold day, I'm glad we changed it because I think the scene was a snow scene.
Yes.
Originally, it was going to be just a snowy, barren snowscape, that would have been rough to film in.
After doing that, that would have been even worse.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just having the snow that was there, although the ground was like super wet and saturated.
Because it was very soggy.
It had just snowed, but it was starting. It was February. Or it was March.
Probably
it was
March.
Early March. Yeah. And so everything was still kind of like... It snowed and then it thawed, but then it got cold again. Because it looked like it was actually going to be really nice, like 40 degrees, which
I think the next day was a nice day.
Yeah. It would have been nice, but then that day it was like, I'm glad it worked out the way it was and no one got hurt. And we had some great food afterwards and stuff. And, you know, Mandy and her husband were very...
Very hospitable
and really nice about having us over there, and they made
us all
freaking awesome like sandwiches and
chicken and dumpling soup was wonderful.
Those sandwiches, man.
I didn't get the sandwiches, but
that's because I ate them all before
you. Well, I know
got
you were hovering over the stove.
They're so good. They're like a ham and Swiss like slider thing. Oh, I live for those.
Turn around, Chris had one as well.
Dude, they're so good.
But no, the soup was wonderful.
Soup was amazing.
We had a good time. It was a good day.
It was exactly the kind of thing that you need after being outside freezing. It was like a hot dumpling hearty chicken soup with sandwiches that apparently Mitch got none of.
I think, and also going back to the weather you guys were talking about, it goes to show that multiple movies you've always written in certain scenes you always want to have snow. And you never do. House of Ghosts.
I apparently have magical powers when it comes to that.
I think in the future, if you ever want to write a scene with snow, we're going to fake it.
We're just going to,
It's going to be on a set. It'll be
a foam car,
baking soda, or
write a backup scene.
If
you're going to write a scene with snow, you got to write a backup scene for no snow, because every time you want snow, you never get it.
You know, I think it's got to be one of those things where it's like you write a scene with snow, right?
Or we film in Canada.
And we just inevitably just be like, okay, we can't schedule this scene. You just have to be ready on a moment's notice. The moment we get a foot of snow. Because we'll always get at least like a little snow. Even when we did House of Ghosts,
a little snow that year.
It's like we just have to be like, we can't just say, okay, we're doing it on February 8th.
Yeah.
Because we don't know, right?
Well,
we've learned that.
Yeah, it's just like, no, when there's snow on the ground, you're going to
go
ready.
We're going to roll out and do this.
Yeah. Or you have it so that, you know, we get this scene, we're going to schedule it. I'm going to be the weather watcher guy. And like, if they're predicting a measurable amount of snow, then I'm going to send out an email. Okay, it looks like there's going to snow on Saturday.
Right.
Can everybody make it on Saturday?
Sunday, Monday. What day works within that like 72 hours?
Before it all melts.
It looks like it's going to be there. It's going to stay. Let's shoot this stuff.
There you go.
Because that's like the second time I've written snow into a script and we had none.
Yep, pretty much.
Global climate change.
But I like the idea of doing it on a set. So you have a fan blowing.
Oh, yeah,
That'll add
that's sort
to
of
some of the
really
cheesiness.
Extra fake cheese.
Yeah.
So we just need a bigger space.
Yeah.
Hey, honestly.
I've got the leaf blower for it, so I can just
blow potato flakes. And if you get it in your mouth, you suck on them long enough, you got mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And who doesn't like mashed potatoes?
I mean, sure, they'll be a little grainy, but it'll work.
Boy. Your spit will soften
suck it
up,
buttercup.
Yeah. There it is.
New Do
it,
topic.
Pain is temporary.
So, pain is temporary. Film is forever.
That's right.
So the demon with the atomic brain is now edited, but so are we going to say edited with an asterisk?
It's complete. As of right now, I just have to tack on the credits. Okay. But that's...
Are you beyond the stage where you watch it dozens of times?
I'm at the stage now where I'm nitpicking it.
I have a question. Have the kids watched it, and what do they think of it?
They haven't yet.
Okay.
The plan is this weekend.
Okay.
Ah, all right.
That's the thing. That's the next stage. I get through the nitpick stage, and I've already found a couple little things. Like I found that Mandy has a tattoo on her back of her shoulder that you can totally see in two shots. And I was like, oh, I should probably take that out. But other than that, I mean, it's good. And I'm really happy with it. I'm just at that sort of nervous stage now of like, how are people going to enjoy it or not? But I mean, I like it a lot. And I know my son, David, who's a huge fan, has been watching. And like, he found out that I'm done, so he'll come down and sort of catch pieces of it. He really likes it, and it's good. I think people are going to like it.
Well, I think what I like too is the excitement of seeing it with the crowd for the first time. So,
without
those premieres are the best because I have a nervous energy. I'm always kind of on edge. It's weird. I can't relax.
No,
it's just. Almost oversaturation, over stimuli.
Yeah.
It's just everything's coming at you from all over. And then to sit down, and as soon as the lights go down and the movie starts, it's just kind of like a nervous energy. Well,
it's like at that point, it's like, well, we can't stop it. The train has left the station, and we're going to ride this to the end.
Yep.
And we're just going to see how people like it. I think the new blood is going to bring a lot of extra fun to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very much so.
And I got some goofy stuff planned for the premiere. Since we're on number 12 now, I figure
everybody gets a dozen donuts.
God, that'd be expensive.
I like how you think, Mark.
Yeah, see, I said that for Mitch.
No, I think this one's going to be really fun. I really
12
do.
Pack of beer.
Hey now, I like this idea too.
Over the weekend when I was at the Infinicon event, someone came up to me who I remember vaguely selling like a movie to years ago down in Dallas. And they're like, oh, man, I love the giant spider. And we started talking about it. And he's like, you know my favorite part of it, man? Because they're all Texans. So yeah. This guy was like, you know my favorite part of this, man? Is that face. When it comes up, it makes me laugh every time. And I'm like, man, these guys get it. He's like, I love the Black Scorpion. I got that. I got the reference right away.
That is cool.
And so I always end up telling the story about Mitch and I of going back and forth on that god dang spider.
Yeah.
Because we did one version, and it looked like a bad Muppet.
Yep.
We shot it again, and we thought maybe it just was like, I just needed better footage. Still bad Muppet. And I started messing with the eyes, and it was like, you're like, let me take a crack at the eyes.
Yeah.
We redid the eyes, shot it, and we're like,
did it.
Okay, that's as good as it's going to get. And then I remember sitting in that theater, and I'm always sort of off to the right in the back, and you were across the aisle, right?
Yes.
And you knew when the face was coming. And I remember you just kind of looked at me, and I looked at him like... Here it goes, man, because we were so nervous that was going to be terrible or that people were just going to, like, you know, be pulled completely out of the movie. And I remember you looked and were just like, all right, here goes. And it happened, and the f***ing crowd just erupted in laughter, and it was just like you could feel it. And I remember you started turning and gave me the thumbs up like, hell yeah.
Yeah, we got it.
And I was like, okay. But we were so nervous about that stupid face.
And even just trying to get... come up with a design that wasn't too spidery and had, you know, it just, that was a rough one. But I think people, I mean, I've heard nothing but fairly good things about it. People seem to enjoy it and like it. So
people really seem to like that one little thing. I mean,
that makes me happy.
I've heard that several times. I mean, I've never heard someone, no one has ever come up to me and is like, I hate that stupid spider face. Or I was like, oh no, as soon as it hits that, it's like, that's the moment they're completely sold on the movie. Is like Ruby gets eaten. They see the face.
Like, oh, damn.
And they're like, I love this movie. That's what it comes down to, is that moment. Because they're like, yep, I get it. Because I think that shot of you with the giant spider behind you is one of my favorite special effect shots, too.
It's pretty good.
Because it's just that big-ass spider, And you're like standing there, like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Da, 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 da.
And then face, and then the scream, and then the burger dog, and just that whole sequence.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
Went together really well.
People love it, and that's, I think, the moment that everybody's like, I'm in this. I'm along for the ride.
There you go. So, Demon with the Atomic Brain, the world premiere,
October 4th,
Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the infamous, for the 12th year in a row,
Number 12.
Heights Theater,
12.
Columbia Heights, Minnesota.
That's right.
I personally am calling out every single one of these so-called Dallas, Fort Worth super fans. Yes, Mark Hader, General Castle.
General Castle's commanding you.
If none of you people show up, then you cannot call yourself super fans. If one of you does, then I will give you an pass for the entire gang. So one of you people needs to show up and come up, and you know who I am.
He's not just going
to
come down for your silly Alamo Draft House showings.
Yes.
Come up here.
You come up. You make the effort. I make the effort to come to you. You come to me.
I've been to Texas, what? How many times have I been to Texas with you? Twice? Three times? We did Texas Frightmare, and we did...
Was it just the once?
Was it just the once?
I've only been once.
It was just the once.
Okay, maybe it was just once. All right, so I've been there.
We'll have you on the podcast.
I still came down.
I know how to make Western mesquite. Food.
It'll make you feel like you're at home.
We ate your donuts. We ate your barbecue.
Yes.
And we loved it.
Hard ate barbecue.
We'll show you a good time up here.
I still talk about
it. I love the Texas fans. I should...
They're the best.
I'd love to see one or two of them come up here.
This is my subtle ploy in trying to get...
Enjoy the cold weather.
Do you think any of them are any planning to come up for it? Or?
I don't know. I've been telling everybody about it.
Cross. This is
Michael
for
Cross,
you.
Michael Cross. He won the shit list award. Come on up.
Yeah, if you want to solidify your position for the shit list next year, you need to get up here and give Steph crap to her face.
He needs to call her mom.
That would be amazing.
Although
I don't want to give
Michael a bit of a pass on some of this stuff because he cosplays as Dr. Edwards.
Yes, he does.
Yes,
he does a fantastic job with it.
When I went down there last week, we brought a couple of Steve puppets with us.
Well, you brought another one.
One of which was a custom-made Steve puppet that was the Dr. Edwards Steve puppet. And Steph and I purposely were like, it was actually my idea. I was like, we should do some customized like cosplaying Steve puppets, basically. And I said... And she's like what? I'm like, well, I can think of one that I know that if we do it, we'll sell it. She's like, what? I'm like, do the Dr. Edwards one. I'll bring it down to Texas, and Michael will buy it. She's like, really? I'm like, oh, yeah. He bought it before the dang con even opened.
And
I mean, he was there.
There was pictures of him with it.
Oh,
right. Yeah. So, I mean, I was just like, it was a bit of a ploy, I admit it. I told him as much, too. I was like, yeah, I knew I did it just because I knew you'd buy it.
There you go. So yeah, that's it. That's my subtle, not so subtle ploy to get some of these Dallas Fort Worth people up here.
Bottom line, we'd love to see you up here.
Get up here. They are experienced.
Even a good time.
Seeing it's from three of the people who have been to every premiere that are sitting at these mics right now, it's still fun.
It is.
Even if I wasn't involved in the films, they're still a hoot. They're fun as heck.
And I've always tried to tell people that it's not just going to a movie. There's way more to it than just going to a movie.
And I'm always thankful that, you ask us, you guys got any ideas for the premieres? You got any ideas you want to do dinner afterwards, and if people want to go out, if we're going to go to Applebee's again.
Well, we do the night before.
The night before the thing.
Dinner. Get together. That's kind of become a thing.
This year, the day after, for those out-of-towners or people who have the day off, we're going to be doing a Rock Monsters Learn to Curl.
Yeah, I'm just hearing about...
And we'll teach you how to curl.
So
$10.
That's only three of the Rock Monsters.
Yeah, because Mark has to work.
I just got a new job. Give me
just
a break.
Take the day off.
I do have vacation. I did barter for vacation at my new job, but I don't want to take a Thursday off.
Don't do it.
That seems a little weird.
Don't do it.
But it's still the
Werner Kroll. Rock Monsters, at least the cool ones.
You get Michael, who's the coolest of all. Michael Kaiser, bum bum. Not Michael Cross.
I haven't met him
yet.
Yeah, we got stuff. And, last year we had a group that went to the Mall of America from out of town with Norgard, James Deergod Norgard.
I like that guy.
He took people to the mall. And
yeah, he's all right.
He's all right. But we got stuff. And it's fun. We make a thing out of it.
There's stuff to do the day before. There's stuff to do the day of. And there's stuff to do the day after. And who knows?
Just,
we might actually record a podcast here.
Just don't play cards with Jimmy Norberg.
Yeah. No, he'll take all your money.
No,
sorry, I'm interrupting you.
I haven't played with him yet, so I'll take all his damn money
at Christmas. At Taco Christmas?
That was a fluke for me.
That was a fluke. I wasn't feeling well.
I was
all full of tacos. I wasn't thinking straight.
So let's go back to Where Skeeto. So since Mitch hasn't been an actual honest to God guest in quite a while, let's talk about
sidekicking it last month.
Lots of sidekicking.
That's lots okay. of accepting awards, but let's talk
accepting
about
awards.
Where Skeeto. Your thoughts, Mitch. Did the monster turn out the way you were hoping? Did you get any comments on it? Did you think... The one comment that I heard is that it looks an awful lot like X. It's the only thing that I ever heard. I feel bad because Rue is actually trying to get the fire going.
I hadn't heard that one, and to me it doesn't. I mean, there's two distinct designs there, but
I think that... Anyone who thinks that is wrong.
Fair enough.
You're
These
wrong.
Are all opinions.
You're wrong.
This is not my opinion, guys.
Just because
it's
an opinion doesn't make it right. You can be wrong in your opinions,
and that's
too.
Fine.
The world is not flat.
I'm happy with the Worskita. Had a lot of fun making it.
I think there's a distinct Mitchness to your designs. Like,
yeah.
I think you have a bit of a...
I think the more I do it, I mean, there's obviously... I
exaggerated eyes.
Well, and that... kind of
that
stems
the Mimiverse thing too.
Yeah,
so,
the buggy eyes.
Mitch is a little pigeonholed in that. I mean, he's a little stuck with some of that stuff.
But one of the monsters I designed for the new Demon with the Atomic Brain does not have bug eyes. In fact,
no.
They have.
We were branching way out, man.
Yeah, branching out. I like
branch,
that.
Yeah. Oh, if you see the movie, you'll know why that's a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
To get back to the Worskeeto, it was a fun design.
But a frustrating one.
No, it was
at first.
Not frustrating it so much as adventurous. Again, whenever we start with these things, it's a quick sketches.
Yeah,
trying to get an idea down, solidify an idea, and then that only goes so far with me. I like to get clay. I like to work in three dimensions. So,
oh yeah.
Didn't you destroy one design?
Oh, I've
completely?
Always. I can't tell you how many times I've had things sculpted. Fairly far along, and just I start over. And I, long time ago in high school, when I had an art class, the teacher said, "Don't never be afraid to start over. If you don't like where something's going, don't be afraid. Just start over." So I do. Best lesson I think I ever learned. But to get back to it, I think we had talked about it before, but it was looking a little too insect at one point, and I decided to get more humanity in it. So I think that was a good call. I think it worked out better overall.
You had to do multiple makeups in that one as well, because you had to do Marcus.
Yeah.
And you did, spoiler. We can do spoilers now, right?
At this point, it's
fantastic.
Like if you're listening to this and haven't seen Worskeeto, I don't...
Yeah. Buy it at SaintEuphoria.com.
I'll say my one disappointment is Rachel's makeup. I like it. The idea I had, I just don't think I pulled it off as well as I could have. There's some things I didn't have time or didn't get done.
Although I've been asked numerous times whether or not it's like, can she see at all?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's just, yeah. There's, it's hidden.
I hit it pretty well.
You did a really good job. Because people are like, how does she see? I mean, how did you do that?
I was trying some different ideas. You know, with the teeth, I used some teeth that I don't think worked out very well. I wanted to put some mandibles coming out of her cheeks a little bit, and
oh, that would
have
been cool.
I think I should have sculpted those and just cast them, glued them on, and I think it would have added, balanced it out. But I think overall, she does a good job selling it. You know, it's all her selling that. I mean,
oh yeah,
it
certainly doesn't take away from the story at all, or the
scene. I hope not.
She's
I hope
in.
Not.
No.
But I think she definitely pulled it off, and she suffered. I mean, she was in that makeup for a good solid 6 hours.
Six hours at least.
Yeah.
It was weird, though, sitting there just, like, between takes.
She spit her teeth out in my hand.
And she'd just sort of sit there, and you'd be sitting there just talking to her as we're taking breaks, and you look over, and it's like, okay. Because she's just sitting there in the makeup with the big black eyes.
Big black
eyes.
Like,
I just can't look at you. It's just so weird to have, like, a normal conversation with the bug lady over here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard the episode, Mitch, but the one that we had with Marcus and Chad and... oh my gosh.
Christian.
That's
I heard
the
one.
Them
all. Thank you.
I've listened. I'm an avid listener.
Marcus did say that he would very much like to come back, and if you need more, if you need him to be in more makeups, he's more than willing.
Oh yeah, I had fun with Marcus. Marcus was
that was a hoot.
Yeah, he was.
Chris's mom's house. And
yep.
You commandeered the kitchen. And and Mom Mim has a very small kitchen.
Oh, very much so.
And Marcus is a very big man.
Marcus is a huge fella. So there was one way to get... There's two ways to get down in the basement, and you guys completely blocked off one. We should have just walked around the house and went in that side
door. It's really funny, too, because like I actually watched Where Skeeto this weekend when we did the little marathon at that convention. And like every room in my mom's house has been redone by me. I've repainted every room. And so it's like none of that looks like that anymore, except the one little like basement area with the chains where they find it.
Right, right.
But everything else is like totally different now.
Oh, where your dad used to stash all his canning stuff.
Yeah, wine and all that stuff. Yep. Yeah. That still looks the same, but every other room is completely different.
Even the room where we filmed the bar scene?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's been painted. The floor has been redone.
Oh, wow.
My mom wanted it, like, she wanted a diner tile, so it's black and white. So as I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, now we know where the next diner, like,
you're building
set is going
to
be.
You're going to call your mom up one day, you know, Mom, I need to build a set in your basement.
I told her that. I was like, you know, I'm going to come film, like, some diner-y stuff here. And she's like, nah, I don't care. I figure, because in universe, if you ever listen to that Phantom Lake Almanac thing I did for the 10th anniversary of the Monster Phantom Lake, the attic burned down. The attic malt shop burned down.
Of course.
So I figure we'll just create the basement, right? It's the basement malt shop. Because why not? I mean, it's there. It's there. So, and it looks really nice. I mean, I totally replaced the tile floor and painted everything and...
Get a fake bar or something. Do you have a bar down there? Is there something used as a bar? I mean, you can make something up.
There never was anything that was a bar.
Yeah, you can do that. Throw some tables down and
pictures. It looks really nice. It looks really nice. Weird seeing it now because it's totally different.
Well, and that's kind of nostalgic for me because that was my first day shooting in the Mimverse was in your mom's basement.
Oh, wow.
Destination Outer Space.
That's right. That was mine, too.
Yeah, that was the first time.
First time I ever met Mitch, yeah, first time I ever filmed.
You're all like wearing the...
I still have...
You had the Exeter head on.
Yeah.
I still have my entire Nock costume.
Nice.
I still have it all.
Your hair is a lot grayer now.
I could, just for men, it still exists, just so you know. So if Nock ever comes back, we do a prequel. We had Where Skeeto. I don't know. What else do we want to say about that?
I have two questions.
Okay.
Of all the Mimiverse creature designs you've done, which was your favorite to make, not necessarily your favorite, but your favorite to make, which was your favorite as far as the ones after they were done, like that just to you is the best thing you've done, and which thing do you really, really wish you could have another crack at? Three-part question. The second actual question I'll ask afterwards.
Okay, I think the first, the Moon Zombies, I think. Were the most fun to make, because that was kind of a... The real first crack at making a Mimiverse monster, that was the first movie where I was 100% in from the beginning.
And the people really love them too.
Yeah, and I think they hold up. I like them a lot. They're fun. They were fun to make, and I got to make mass quantities of those. So we had a nice little army of
all still in existence.
Moon zombies walking around. Yeah,
one is still in my basement.
I've got two in my basement.
Chris has one. And then you sold one.
Didn't you?
Oh, no. Well, and then...
Mr. Zero's?
No.
Dr. Lady?
Yeah. I made a sixth one for Dr. Lady.
That's right. Where's the fifth one? 2-1-1.
Fox.
Ryan Fox. Fox.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got one. The Fox family has...
Dear Fox family.
Yeah. We had the five that were screen used.
Yep.
And then the sixth one was a custom build... for Dr. Lady, who is a mask collector extraordinaire, he contacted me and we worked out a deal, and he has one in his collection. So, which I'm very happy to add to it. He's got an amazing collection of masks.
Also, it bears to mention that every time we do a convention that Tom Savini is at, and I think we've mentioned this before, we just did one in Monster Bash, and it didn't come up in the podcast, but so this was the second time we've done a convention with Tom Savini. Tom Savini's world-famous makeup artist. He was George Romero's dear friend for a long time, did a lot of work with him, and he also was part of the Friday the 13th, the first four films. And he did some work after the fact, but just predominantly.
You don't know who he is, look him up, and you'll be like, holy crap.
He was in From Dusk Till Dawn. He's been in a bunch of films.
Pertinence?
He is well known for his makeup effects. And every time the Mimiverse does a convention that I'm lucky enough to come with, if Tom Savini's there, he always walks by the booth, stops, does a double take, kind of looks at us sitting behind the booth, if one of us are sitting behind
the
booth. Checks out the masks, smiles, and walks away.
Every time. But it's not like he just checks them out once. Every time he walks by, he's got to check it out. And, like, we're always trying to, like, get a picture of it, but he's smart.
He's smart. He's really quick.
He's like, fuck you guys, and then walks on. You know, because
at Frightmare, he came over, and he complimented you, if I'm not mistaken. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but I remember he came by the booth. We're sitting there. I think it was before the doors opened.
It was set up, yeah.
It was set up. We're getting in, and he was walking around, making the rounds, and he walked by. And I think I just said, hey, Mr. Savini, you mind if I take a quick picture with you? And
I was going to say, I remember you took a picture with him.
Yeah, he was very nice about that. And we took a quick snapshot. But otherwise.
He's a fan of your work. And that's saying something.
Well, I don't know that, but
if he at least checks it out and he's crap.
If one of the legends in makeup effects is stopping to do a double take on your stuff.
Every time.
I think that says something there, Mitch.
He's at least a little impressed.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
I mean,
Or maybe he's going, oh, God, what is that?
Yeah, oh, my God.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, he could be critiquing it.
He's like, this is terrible.
He's like, this is a hot mess. This guy needs to go to my school. He has a school that teaches that sort of thing. But if we get Greg Nicotero to walk by, there you go. He's the other big name. Or Robert Kurtzman. He did Freddy Krueger a couple times. It's a testament to Mitch's ability and not just it. What Mitch does for the films, I would almost say, and Chris, I think, might agree with me, it transcends the films a little bit. You know?
Oh, yeah. And I often will tell people that, you know, for as much as the sort of Mimiverse is sort of my thing, I think Mitch has had as much to do with the world of the films as much as I have, honestly.
Yeah.
So it's my ideas or whatever, but the look and feel, a lot of that is, it's the monsters. These are monster movies. You don't have a good monster, what's the point, right?
Agreed.
That was one of the biggest complaints people had about It Came From Another World coming off of Monster and Phantom Lake, is like, Monster of Phantom Lake has this great monster, and then there's nothing decent monster-y.
Yeah, it's Mike Mason.
World, right. And so,
with
since
Bug-Eyes.
Mitch, hey, Mike, since, call us.
Since Mitch joined the Mimiverse, it's like we took a huge step up, and now there's like as much as what makes the Mimiverse is also the sort of Gonzalez-verse, you know, that a lot of what makes the movies is Mitch's designs and his monsters.
Yeah, it's the Mitchiverse.
It's a collaboration.
Collaboration is the fantastic word for it, because literally the first 22 minutes of the podcast was you two guys just bantering back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a testament to your working relationship right there. I mean, you really got it.
We have a great working relationship.
Right before we hit record on this bad boy, spoiler, Chris just sent Mitch, and you guys have been doing this for a while now, too.
Oh, yeah.
You've been bouncing ideas for the actual official movie poster, which I think everybody knew that, but you guys always bounce ideas back and forth. So I got a chance to see the rough draft of the movie poster.
Well, and there's a reason why I'll show Mitch, because already he was like, maybe you should do this. I'm like, yeah, that's a really good idea. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
You know, just to add something, because I needed another perspective of someone who gets it, that'd be like, you know what, you should try. Like, yes, I should, because I like this one image, but I'm not liking how it's coming out. But I like this as sort of an icon of it. And, you know, it's just, fight with it.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. Send it to Mitch because he understands. You send that to me, I'm going to be like, yeah, it's all right.
It's right. It works. Whatever.
It works. Whatever.
That's cool.
You know, but I always end up
much more like Michael Bum-Bum.
Well, and honestly, though, we should say to Michael Kaiser is that, okay, so, yeah, you got me sort of doing my thing. You got Mitch doing his thing. And we're obviously both both important to the damn Mimiverse, right? You kind of, I feel like you can't have it without either, without us. But you got to say Michael too, because he adds personality to these monsters. I had this whole conversation with someone about the hand acting of the monsters
the
this
hacting.
Weekend.
The hacting.
Of where, like, they're like...
that's a great coin.
I told them that the story about how Michael, like, added the crab claw thing to the monster Phantom Lake. And they're like, that's awesome. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, what about the other ones? And I was like, well, I don't know if you noticed this, but he actually puts a hand thing on each monster. And they're like, holy crap, now that you mention it, he does. It's like, because he's like, so like the moon zombies do this, and the bat does this, and the X did this. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's all Michael right there, of just adding that sort of Michael-ness presence to it.
He gives every monster its own distinct, unique personality.
He gives them life, even though it's all in the hacking.
I still say one of these times you have to commit to this joke. You got to tell Michael that he's not the monster in the next film.
Yeah, he knows his days are numbered.
I'm just saying. I want to see the look. I want to be in the room when you do this.
Well, you know, we did the giant spider. There was a part of him you could tell was a little bit crushed.
There was, but...
he's like, oh.
But he was still in the film, though.
You know what we should have did is had him puppeteer the spider head.
So he felt like he's got
it. Yeah, yeah.
The big leg.
He's not strong enough to hold that big leg up. Are you kidding me? He could barely push the stone down the ice. That's right. I called you out, Michael Kaiser, Bob.
At least with any amount of accuracy.
Oh,
punk ass.
Nice. So, I'm sorry. I interrupted.
So the second half was, the first half was, what was your most fun to work on? Second half was, what was your favorite when you actually saw the end result of all the monsters you've done? Which one are you just like, I really, really love that monster?
I haven't seen the new movie yet, so I'll leave that out. There's some interesting things there that... we'll see how that works.
You know, some of them work. Some of them were frustratingly difficult to make work, but generally, I think everything worked.
I'm happy to hear. I think I'm going to go with X, the Fiend from Outer Space. I just like, you know, that one came pretty quick, and the head did, at least. The body, not so much. The head and hands were fun to make, but I liked how that one came out, and that was a fun one. And I think it's got its own unique look from the others, and I think that's what I try to do across the board, is try not to repeat myself and do something really distinct and really different.
Yeah.
When we do have a question about X, but we'll get to it later.
Okay.
Not for you, actually. This one's for Rue.
And I do think when you see the new movie and you see all the there's multiple creatures that Mitch was able to create for this demon.
Yeah. Yes.
That when you see it, you'll see that I think this is probably the biggest stretch we've allowed you to do
a movie
where we really, really stepped away from what you've seen before. I mean, there's one monster that, you know, is
in our wheelhouse. It's
in the wheelhouse, but even that one still looks different. Exactly. And then you got some other creatures that are like...
never seen before.
Never seen shit like that before. But that was too with the script, you know, when we were approaching it. It's like, let's do some weird stuff. Let's branch out a little bit.
We don't want to bore people, and I think we don't want to bore ourselves.
No.
You know, why keep repeating ourselves? And if we... I mean, you know, we're working in a genre that has certain tropes, but we're going to have fun, and we're going to, you know, change it up here and there. And
so the next film, Mitch doesn't do any monsters. He just reprises his role from Giant Spider.
Right.
So he just comes out and says, Fox Rail Yards, closes the door.
Dr. Edwards, there's been another sighting.
Yes.
Fox Rail Yards.
And that you just...
slink away.
Slink away.
This is an audio medium, because that was awesome.
We'll put you on a roller and pull you back.
That's right.
Yeah, just...
I still got rollers.
Into a cloud.
We'll have a fog machine behind you.
So then the final part of that question was... now, when you look at them, which monster or creature, when you see it, you're like, damn it, I should have done this. I wish I would have done this. I hate this. Like, which one, I guess, you're least satisfied with that you wish you could have another crack at?
Well, I think I already said that with Rachel's makeup. I think I would have went further with that one.
So the were-spider.
The were-spider. And again, she did a great job, and she really sold it. But and I appreciate that. I mean, she really carried it out. But I think I could have did a better job.
Well, they can't all be winners, Mitch. You got to look at it that way.
So here's
proves you're human. You got to look at it that
you're
way.
You're not perfect.
Yeah. Damn. I mean, you're
just
close.
Just as in not every movie I've made has been great.
And I've got mustard down my shirt.
That's all right. That's all right. I got some chow mein on me from dinner.
I still want donuts.
So the second question I was going to ask is, what do you think about collectible busts Mitch.
I was going to say
collectible
Mac-ets.
Busts.
Yes.
I've heard that people want them. What do you think, Mitch?
I think that's a great idea.
I think Chris needs to make a movie without any monsters in so that Mitch has time to make maquettes.
Well,
oh,
you know,
she just dropped the mic on that one.
It was an idea I have for a movie that wouldn't require, you know, Mitch could then finish his work and just be done with it.
Oh.
Mitch maybe needs a break.
Would it be just busts of the monsters, or could I humbly request one for General Castle?
Ooh, a General Castle bust would be fun.
It's got that picture of that meme that you put out.
Yeah. With the cigar.
Expect to see more of those, by the way. I got ideas for three more.
No, I saw that still, and I'm like, oh, I got to capture that. Because it was an outtake where you screwed up, and you're like, and you put your arms up like, it was just like, oh, I got to put that on the
best picture
on the
ever.
Wall for that.
Merchandise is coming.
Sweet.
All
right. We got to do something.
So. People want the busts. I mean, they ask. I think those would be cool collectors.
4-inch maquettes?
Yeah.
You know what I actually thought about that would be interesting and maybe easier to reproduce is miniature masks. So it'd be kind of an exact replica of the mask on a little stand in latex, but I don't know, 6th or 8th scale or whatever, you know, something.
Nice.
So
that'd be unique.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that the other day, so it wouldn't be your normal resin cast, you know. It lasts a lot longer, I'm sure, the resin cast and paint it up. But it'd be kind of fun to have a little miniaturized mask from the movie. And I thought about that.
I would help you paint
them.
We'd
see a lot of YouTube videos of people putting them on their cats.
They wouldn't be that big, but maybe a hamster.
There you go.
Or a gerbil.
I mean, I remember we still have our Monster Phantom Lake little resin cast guy, but ours was one of the ones that you had given to us because it had, like, the finger had broken off.
Well, yeah, Chris made those, and I just cast them up. I molded, made the mold, and we cast a few up, and you were selling them out.
And we still have ours, but...
But, no, this would be kind of a... It'd be a latex, actual miniaturized latex mask on a little little stand like I make, but all miniaturized. I was thinking that'd be a different fun angle.
That would be very cool.
And... You know, the plaster mold wouldn't be bad to make, and you can just slush mold some latex in there and paint them up, and then they're done.
There you go.
So I thought I was going to give that a try.
I like that. Because then they are.
We can call them miniature Mimiverse masks or something. I mean, yeah. You know,
well, because the
triple M.
There you go. Because the two things that people request the most.
This is what happens. This is how the ideas
happen. This is what happens. Of course, half of them never get done, but
hey, we're
full of ideas.
Oh, well. We're always thinking.
The two things that are requested most as far as collectibles are... busts and action figures. Those two.
Yeah, yeah.
People want the damn... They want the monsters is what they want in some form.
I think the miniature mask would be a good way to go.
I think it'd be cool.
I think it'd be...
Honestly.
I don't think I've ever seen that done.
I wonder, could you... Once you've made the mask, could you fill it with something to make it sort of harden?
Yeah, it doesn't crush, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, expanding foam, polyfoam. You can just spray it in there and
great
it'll be light.
Great stuff?
And
I hate you. Not
sorry.
What?
In joke between the two
we
of
have
us.
A joke. Do you still have a gun from the late night double feature?
The little hand thing, the zappers?
Our zappers.
I do, yes.
You could make a Gilliam hand with the zapper.
Just the hand.
Yeah. Stunners. Because I'm just saying, like, get some dental alginate.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
in.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
it wouldn't harm the toy.
No.
Not to derail your conversation, but to add to it, have you you noticed Derek M. Cook of MonsterKidRadio.net?
Hi, Derek.
Didn't he just get new place to get t-shirts at? I think I was going to talk to you about that.
Yeah,
I think
he switched from Zazzle to
T-Plus?
T-Fury or T-something, T-something.
You need to do that for your stuff, too.
I agree, actually. He's had a very good...
And they're cheaper.
I purchased the shirt. It was cheaper, very good quality, and I washed it right away, and the image didn't deteriorate, didn't fade. It was solid. It was nice.
I would totally rock more Mimiverse shirts. The ones I have are originals.
If they were cheaper.
If they were, yeah, but I'm not paying $30 for Zazzle one. Sorry, man. I love you, but I'm not going to pay $30 for a t-shirt.
And I know there are some on there, like, you know, I did the Nintendo shirts.
Yeah, that was amazing. I want one of those.
For each movie. I get asked about that because I got the one made, the monster one made, and people are always like, where do I get that? And it's like, Zazzle. But, I mean, I have designs, and...
You should upload one just to try out.
Yeah, I think I was thinking about it. I just haven't, obviously, gotten the time to do it with everything else going on,
Well, I have an idea.
That's the plan.
Maybe the poster of the new movie. Put that out there. And just for, you know, it's new, and see what happens.
And actually, someone over the weekend saw the Monster Phantom Lake and then saw the Monster Phantom Lake stuff. and was like, I just want a shirt that has a monster phantom leg with its arms open wide, and it just says, hug me. And right. I'm like, that is brilliant. I'm going to have to do that.
That's a good idea.
I love that. Or free hugs.
Free hugs. Because kids always like make jokes about how it's the monster that hugs you to death.
Yeah. So I was just, I meant to, because I saw that on Derek's Facebook wall, what was like a week or so ago, and I was like, I was going to text you about it, and then I was like, I got sidetracked with something.
That shirt cost you?
It said it was on sale, but it seems like every time I go on there, it's that same price, but it was 14 something and change.
Do that. Do it. Seriously.
$4 or $5 shipping.
And it was on a...
It was like $20.
And it was on a dark shirt.
I ordered a black shirt. I know. I think Derek had it set up for a kind of a maroon color on the one design that I picked. His default was maroon, but I went black, and I think I got a 2X, and it did arrive. It was a thick quality shirt, and it was pre-shrunk, so I think next time I'd order an extra large. I don't like snug. I don't like I said, I don't like Captain Kirk snug.
No, you got to see. We got to see these greased guns of yours. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I got to leave something for the imagination.
He is. You know? He's married, ladies. Back off.
And fellas.
Yeah. Fellas, the line forms to the left.
Ladies, he's married, but fellas, the line forms to the
left. I don't think Ann would
come one, come all.
That as much.
But it was a good quality. I was very happy with it, and that's what I thought. I think I texted you, said,
yeah,
or
so,
I think on our thing, you know, yeah, you should try to get some.
Not that you don't have 20 other things to do.
Exactly.
Get the movie done. No, but even that is just like, I have all those designs sitting in a folder. I just got to upload them, basically.
So I would consider doing that, because I would pay $20 for a shirt, but $30
is out. Yeah, it's too much, and Zazzle has just been, I even took them off my website, too, just because it's like, no one's buying stuff. Occasionally, on rare occasion, I'll get someone who'll pick something up, but it's like once every 3 months, maybe. Maybe
if you do, yeah, so something to consider.
Maybe another thing to do is, you know, there's whenever we go to Crypticon, there's the one gentleman that sells. We can get some, you know, somebody they made a screen and get a bulk of shirts that are cheap, and then, you know, some smalls, extra.
Yep. Large. See, the problem, obviously, when you do
that,
purchase shirts, is then you're stuck with a bunch of smalls.
Inventory. Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, you got a double X? No, we sold them all. Yeah, so we don't get the sale.
That's the downside, but
it's too bad. Like those T-shirt printers that places like Zazzle use
expensive.
Aren't cheap.
They're so
that'd
expensive.
Be so awesome to just be like, you come up, I want a shirt, and then we'll just
have a bunch
put
of
it
links.
On and be like, we'll have it for you in an hour. Because I know at Crypticon in Kansas City last year, not this year, but the year last, I went to it, and there was actually a T-shirt vendor there that had one.
Oh, wow.
And you literally would go up, you'd pick your
and
design, tell them how much,
it's good.
And they'd be like, come back, we'll have it for you by the end of the day.
Nice.
So you'd come back and pick it up. I was like, that's the way to go. Because then you don't have to worry about what designs you bring. You just, okay, we can do all these designs, and it's literally just printed.
That's magic. That's printer. Black magic right there.
I know. I wish it wasn't so expensive. Black magic. Because I would totally do that and then just sell shirts for people. Like a side business.
There you go.
Like,
well, you did, Cook, you did you know? The pins, the little buttons.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'd be awesome if we could do it. But, yeah. So that was pretty cool. I mean, it's huge, obviously, and there's a lot that goes into it. But I can't imagine. But I would imagine over time it'll get cheaper. Just as more places go to it and stop doing, like,
it's like you can buy a 3D printer at Barnes & Noble now.
Yeah, but really? you're limited on size.
Yeah, I mean, there's limitations, but you can find one.
You can find one.
Same with Best Buy. I think there was one at Best Buy not too long ago.
There was one company that I kind of wish I would have kickstarted, like joined their Kickstarter, that had created a 3D printer, and the stuff you would load into it was plastic bottles.
Oh, wow.
Like it used
like it melted bottles. To
like
use
it melted
right away.
Like plastic bottles, recycled like Coke bottles, recycle them.
Polypropylene.
You run it through a thing that like turns it into a string.
Nice.
And then you run it in, and it just uses that.
Oh, I would have to start drinking out of bottles. I drink out of cans. But
still, though, I mean, it'd be like I drink, you know, Coke and stuff. I mean, it'd be great to be just like, oh, well, I can make action figures by drinking a Coke. I mean, then you have this sort of. At least you're recycling things, I mean, which is awesome. But then also your
right
materials.
Riding that caffeine high.
Yeah, and then your materials are nice and kind of low.
Yeah,
as far as price, because you're also getting a Coke out of it.
It's a win-win. You get a shirt
win-win.
And a Coke.
You get an action figure and a Coke.
It's like a Coke commercial. Drink a Coke and make an action figure.
I mean, it's cool. Because then, too, you're recycling, too, which is awesome.
There you go. Well, let's wrap this part up, but, babe, let's go out on a question. Do you have the question for Mitch from...
I do. So...
This is the one that I don't think Mitch is aware of.
This isn't for Mitch. This is for General Castle.
Oh, we want. Oh, I wanted the one for Mitch.
I don't have one for Mitch.
I do.
You have the one from Michael?
Yeah, that one.
It's a great question from Michael Kaiser. Bomb, bomb.
Yes, I like to torture him.
No, he. When we announced it earlier, he jumped on, and it was. He put the question up, and I was like, "That's awesome."
From Michael G. Kaiser. Bomb, bomb. My question is, why does Mitch say he's going to do things to make masks more comfortable and then not?
Oh, it's pointed. It's pointed.
Pain is temporary. Film is forever. Suck it up, Buttercup.
All right. That's on for that you, note, Michael gotta go. Kaiser. Bum, bum.
All right, so you're going to want to tune into part two. We've got other questions. We've got more movies to talk about, and we're going to hit Chris with some more merchandise ideas.
All right. I like merchandise ideas.